Merry Christmas, everyone. We are very happy to celebrate this season with you. Thank you for coming out today. We are just going to share a little bit, and then, as Troy mentioned, we do have cookies and coffee afterwards, so we can just kind of fellowship together. We were really excited when we realized that Christmas Eve was on a Sunday this year, because it means that we can kind of, you know, normally Jamie and I and our family, we want to spend time with all of you, and at the same time we're trying to rush out of here to get to a family gathering. And so this morning, hopefully you guys will find too that we have a little more time to just celebrate together as a church family. But hopefully you guys are already experiencing some of the joys of Christmas. We had our first Christmas gathering yesterday, Jamie's family, which it's rare that we're all in the same place at the same time. So it was a really special thing. And as we were preparing for it, he and I were talking about just Christmases past and how our perspective has changed on some of our Christmas traditions. For example, when we first got married, my grandma loved dishes, pretty dishes, you know, china and Christmas dishes. And so the first several years of our marriage, every holiday, Jamie and I both would get packages of dishes, which was super exciting for Jamie, especially. It was what he always hoped that Santa would bring him, was presents, right, of dishes. And, you know, I was 20 when I got married, and I didn't really have an appreciation for it either. And one year, my grandma, she would spend time every year in Arizona, where we have family that live, and there is a Dillard's department store outlet store by where she would stay. So she would always go there, and she would, you know, buy Christmas clothes for all the kids. And one year she found that they had an entire Christmas china set on sale. And she couldn't resist. And so sure enough, we opened up at Christmas china, which we were so ecstatic for. But as we were getting it out yesterday and putting it on the table, it was such a special thing because, you know, all of our grandparents have since passed on. And so having those dishes, which at the time seemed ridiculous to me, actually make her a part of our holidays, even today. And they become such a treasured part of our Christmas story. And so it's fun to see, you know, as you grow, how some of the traditions just take on even more meaning. One of those, too, for our family is that every year my grandpa would read the Christmas story. And it always felt like a special moment. But at the same time, it kind of seemed like it went on a long time sometimes, you know, because we could see the presents, like, right there, you know, and we've heard the story before, so it just seemed like you could skip to the end sometimes, you know. But again, as I grew older, and as he grew older, it became such a treasured thing, and since he passed on, you know, it's gone on to other people to be their role to read that story. But this morning, I'm actually going to invite Jamie up now, and he is going to read the Christmas story to all of us.
I get to play the role of the old man this morning. If you have a Bible, you're welcome to follow along. This is Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census should be taken of the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because that was the house of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths. She laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about the child. And all who heard it wondered at these things which were told by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and all that had been told them. This is Matthew chapter 2. The story continues. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them, "Where is the Messiah to be born?" And they said, in Bethlehem of Judea. And this was what has been written by the prophet, "And you, Bethlehem, land of Judea, are by no means the least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will be shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from the exact time the star had been appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, search carefully for the child, and when you found him, report to me, so I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star, which had been seen in the east, went on before them and came and stood over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures, and they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way.
All right, I'm going to pray and then just share a few things with you about this story. So, Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to be here together and to remember the first Christmas so many years ago. Lord, I pray that for everyone here in person and those that see the podcast, Father, that there would just be an awakening of fresh wonder at your goodness and the miracle that Christmas really is. So we just thank you and ask that you would just speak to us this morning, and we thank you that you're here with us now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I just want to share, for most of you, this story is probably a familiar one. I don't know if you ever, grew up with the same sort of tradition that we did, but maybe if not, you've at least heard it like in a VeggieTale version or something. But sometimes with familiar stories, you stop listening to them, or at least I do. And so this Christmas, it was really special to me as I began to look at this story afresh and to just see some of the elements that actually make up this story and just have wonder arise in my heart again at the reality of Christmas and the amazing journey that all of the people involved in Christmas took. so many years ago. So I am going to start actually by talking about a woman named Elizabeth. And she wasn't mentioned in the Christmas story. You may not know who she is. But she really is the forerunner to the Christmas story. Elizabeth is the mom of a man named John the Baptist. And if you're familiar with John the Baptist, you may have heard that he was a crazy man that lived in the desert, right? He had wild hair, he ate locusts and honey, but yet he was chosen by God for a really important task. And we know that he was chosen by God because of the miraculous story of his birth, but also because of the fruit of his life. Because here's this crazy wild man who lives out in the desert, and people would flock to him to repent and to come back to the Lord. And John was Jesus's cousin. He was given the calling to prepare the way for Christ to come. But the story of his birth is really miraculous because his parents were advanced in age. They hadn't had any children. And then suddenly they discover that they are not only going to have a child, but they're going to have a child with a very special purpose. And as I was pondering the Christmas story, I thought how amazing Elizabeth's story was. Because here was this woman who was a devout woman. She was godly. She lived her life before the Lord. Her husband, same thing. He was a priest. They served the Lord wholeheartedly. And yet she had never had a child. And the time had passed for that dream to become a reality in her life. And yet God still chose her for a really important task. And as I was reading that story, I realized that so often I give up on the dreams of my heart because I don't understand God's timing. I don't know if you've ever had that experience, but I actually, one of the strongest reprimands I've ever received from the Lord came when he gave me a dream. And in the dream, he reminded me of some promises, some really clear promises that had been spoken to me. And after those promises had been given to me, things did not unfold the way that I thought they would. Like, I don't know if any of you can identify, but I'm a planner. So I like to know what's going to happen next. And if I think the Lord wants to do something, I want to help him to do it in the best way. Right? Like, that's my nature. And so I had received these promises, and of course I knew the way that it was going to unfold. And then everything went completely awry. And so all I knew how to do was to keep going, but to put those promises away. You know, just kind of pack them aside and go, okay, well, I don't understand. Lord, I'm going to trust you. You can do whatever, but I'm not, like, I'm just going to pack that away. And then the Lord gave me a dream, and in the dream, he very clearly said, this isn't finished. This isn't finished. Like, don't lose heart. You need to hold on to this. This was from me. And I woke up with this sense of wonder, but also of dread, because I didn't want to hold on to those promises, because they were bigger than what I could understand, and I didn't know how to make them happen. And so, but I knew that he was telling me, this was for me, trust me and stay on the journey. And so I don't know if any of you can relate to that, but I wanted to start this morning with Elizabeth, because I want to encourage you that if you can relate to that, it's not too late. And that God's plan is better than yours. And it may just be that it's not time yet. You know, if Elizabeth had had children at the, like, normal time in life, then her life would have been completely different. And she wouldn't have been able to be the carrier of this great promise. You know, and instead she gets to raise the son who would prepare the way for Jesus. Like, Jesus himself says that there has not been a greater prophet that has lived than John. That's a pretty amazing thing. And I think if she was here today and we were to ask her, she would say wholeheartedly, God's plan was better than mine. Like, I'm glad it worked out that way. So this Christmas, I just want to encourage you not to lose heart. That if you're feeling weary, to take heart and be encouraged, because God's time is better. And this is a perfect season to believe again and to trust him for the way that things in your life are going to unfold. Amen. All right, the second element of the Christmas story I want to look at quickly is Mary. You know, Mary is key in the story. And usually when I see the Christmas story portrayed, I see it as kids dressed up, right? Like, it takes away, I mean, it adds a lot of delight and cuteness. I love that. But it takes a little bit away from the reality of the circumstance. You know, Mary was the chosen one, and she was unexpected to be chosen to be the vessel that she was. In the world's eyes, she would have been considered unworthy, but not in God's eyes. In the world's eyes, she would have been an unlikely choice. And the thing about choosing her is that it totally disrupted her life. Like, it would have been a terrifying thing to be Mary. You know, it would have been a great honor, an amazing blessing, like, I can't even imagine. But think of how terrifying it would be to be a young girl who's not married and have the Lord visit you and say, hey, this is what's going to happen. Like, your whole world is going to turn upside down. And you don't know how it's going to unfold, and you don't know what's going to happen or what are the ramifications going to be, not to mention just the actual practical realities of it. You know, I have 7 amazing children. I'm going to have my 8th this spring. Yeah, thank you. And I'm going to tell you that the favorite part of motherhood for me is not the labor part. But I've never had to do it in a stable. You know, like, I've never had to go on the journey with the donkey to, you know, another land and give birth. Like, can you imagine how terrifying that would be? But yet there was always grace for Mary. And I know this because of what the Bible says about her. If you'll remember when Jamie was reading the story, it talks about how, you know, these things happened and many wondered at them. And then it makes a statement about Mary, and it said, but Mary treasured all these things in her heart. And that makes Mary a hero in my eyes. Because it's really easy to wonder at what the Lord's doing. It's really easy to wonder when you see something, when you hear something, like when something happens in your life and you know it's the Lord, or you hear a testimony, it's really easy to wonder about it and then get back to your everyday life. But it's a completely different thing to actually treasure the things that the Lord says in your heart. That word for treasured there means to keep safe and preserve. And this is the key to sticking out the journey. Because Mary was chosen for a very special task, and none of you are going to have to walk in her footsteps, thank the Lord, right? It's hard enough raising regular children. I can't imagine, you know? But all of us have been chosen by the Lord. We've been chosen for specific things. And they're all things that are above our pay grade. You know, they're things we're not prepared for. They're things we're not qualified for. Because that's how the Lord works. And if we want the grace to continue on the journey, it's really important that we treasure the things that he does and the things that he says. Because then when you're going along the path of where he's leading, when things happen that you don't understand, when things are hard, you don't faint, but instead you just think back. You remember. You think of the things that he said and the things that you've done, and it gives you courage and it gives you faith and it gives you grace to move on. So this Christmas, we all have the opportunity to really treasure in our hearts what the Lord's done for us, what he's saying to us, and his invitation to us even now. The next element of the story I want to talk about briefly is Joseph. And I've called him the helper. And really, if there are any unsung heroes, I would say Joseph fits that bill. Because here we have Joseph, who's just going along in life, and he's going to marry this girl. Can you imagine? You're going to get married, and the girl comes to you and says, hey, I'm pregnant, but it's God's. Right? You know, like, this is a hard pill to swallow, okay? You know, and obviously the Lord speaks to him too, and he continues the journey with her, but he's rarely mentioned. You know, Jesus had a father in heaven. So we talk about that. We talk about Mary. If you go into some of the old church buildings with the beautiful stained glass, especially over in Europe, there's Mary depicted gloriously. There's Jesus. There's angels. There's no Joseph, you know? But yet he took his life and he supported the call on someone else's life. And Mary wouldn't have been able to do it without Joseph. You know, Jesus becomes a carpenter because of Joseph. That's an amazing thing. And when I read about Joseph, it reminds me of what a privilege it is to partner with people. That we are created to be a body of people, and that any of us that want to fulfill the call of God on our lives, that we're not going to be able to do it alone, but we have to do it in partnership with each other. It reminds me that sometimes if I'm feeling left out, that I don't have to, because I actually get to be a part of everyone's story if I'll just use my gifts, my talents, my time to support the people around me. If I don't have to make it about myself, but I can make it about what the Lord is doing, then all of a sudden my priorities change and I don't feel left out, I don't feel jealous, but I feel what a divine privilege it is to be able to walk with the body and partner with everyone to see God's will fulfilled in this earth. And that's the lesson, I think, of Joseph this Christmas. The next person isn't actually a person, it's a star. The star is the sign. And what's amazing is that, you know, the wise men saw the star, but it wasn't a secret star. You know, it wasn't like it was hidden only for them. But they saw the star, and they noticed the star because they studied the heavens. They understood that stars talked about seasons and times, and so they were watchful. They were looking out, and when they noticed that there was a star in the sky that wasn't normally there, they took note of it. It says that they saw it, and that word for saw means that they perceived, they stopped, they attended to. And I think, wow, how many times do I see something and just keep going? I think about it for a minute and go, oh, that's weird. And I just keep going. You know, I'm driving in the van. It makes a weird noise. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. And I just keep going. Jamie loves that about me, by the way. Oh, did you notice? Oh, yeah, I didn't really think about it. You know, because you get distracted. You're in your... No, you guys don't know. You can't identify with that at all. Okay. But we all have things that the Lord, I think, is trying to bring our attention to, but yet we don't really perceive something. We see it, but we don't stop and actually take note of it. And the star was in the sky for everyone to see, but it was only really teaching those who would actually stop and perceive it. And I think that this Christmas and always, you know, the Lord isn't so far off. He actually loves us. He is drawing us to him. And he does that through people. He does that through circumstances. He does that through signs. He does it in all kinds of ways. He's really creative. He's really faithful. He's really good. And so my prayer for all of us and my challenge for us this Christmas is that our eyes would be open to see. That when he speaks, we would recognize it and we would stop and we would actually take heed of what he's saying. That's what the wise men did, and they were able to actually worship the Lord and bring gifts to him because they stopped and they took notice of what the sign was saying. And I think that when we stop and perceive what the Lord's doing, that we too get to enter into a glorious reality that is there and available that we just miss if we keep walking by. The next group of people actually are the shepherds. You know, the shepherds, again, when you think about the Christmas story, they're normally portrayed, you know, little kids, it's cute, and there's a little angel says, hey, I'm bringing you good news, right? And everybody rejoices. But in real life, can you imagine just going about your daily life? You are out at night with your flocks in the field, and all of a sudden the sky rips open and there's an angel there talking to you. Like the scripture says, they were terrified. And sometimes I hear about encounters that people have, or I read about them, and I think, oh, that'd be so awesome if that happened to me. And then I realize that it always says, you know, they were terrified. Like, normally, the first thing that angels say is, do not be afraid. Right? Because they're terrified. A lot of times they fall down as if dead, you know, like... And the point of this is that it is scary to have an encounter with God. Not because he's scary, because he's really good, but when God interrupts your life, it's because he wants to say something to you, and he probably wants to bring your attention to something that you wouldn't naturally go to. Like, he's not going to interrupt your life to tell you to do something you were already planning to do. Right? He's going to interrupt your life because he has something really important to say. And that's going to be scary because you're going to have to choose whether you're going to actually do what he's saying or not. You know, the best example in my life is when the Lord started speaking to me about having children. You know, Jamie and I had been married like 5 years or so. And the Lord one day really clearly just said to me, I want you to trust me. And I said, I do. Yeah, see, you're laughing. Because again, the Lord's not talking to me. He's not saying, good job trusting me, right? He's saying, I want you to trust me. And I said, I do, Lord. I want you to trust me. I do, Lord. I want you to trust me. And then suddenly I realized that I had this whole area in my life that I didn't trust him. And I didn't think it was a good idea to trust him with that area. Especially because he was asking me to, because I knew that that meant his answer was probably different than mine, right? And so he began to bring me on this journey, and I remember the fear of finally making the choice, okay, I'm going to let go of my control in this area, and I'm going to trust you. And I really did it. I mean, it's embarrassing now, but I really did it with fear and trembling, feeling like I was going to my death. You know, like, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you, even though it's going to kill me. Like, I'm going to trust you, you know, and I'm going to be honest and say that the journey hasn't always been easy, but it has been so glorious. It has been the biggest blessing of my life to be a mom, and the things that I have learned in my relationship with the Lord as I've gone through the journey of motherhood, of loss, because we have a lot of loss in our family in this area too, as the Lord and I have journeyed together, it has been such a glorious, amazing thing. It's been messy and tragic and beautiful, and it has changed me more than any other. And that's what I think it's like when the Lord interrupts us. And so with the shepherds, as I'm reading about them, and I'm thinking of the terror they would have felt, but that the end result was that they got to go and worship Jesus. And they got to be those that would tell other people who Jesus was. Like, what a glorious thing. And it encourages me, and I hope it encourages you, to make myself more interruptible to the Lord. To be able to say to him, hey, Lord, if you have something, if you're doing something, I don't want to miss out, even if it's scary, if it's outside my comfort zone, if it interrupts my schedule. Like, I want to be one that gets to be a part of what you're doing because I'm able to be interruptible and I'm able to move past my comfort zone to embrace the season and what you're doing. Then the next element, it's actually two people, and I'm just going to go over them briefly, but there's a man named Simeon and a woman named Anna, and they both have the opportunity to see Jesus when he's a baby. So after Jesus is born, they bring him to the temple to present him to the temple as the custom required, and there is a man named Simeon who the Bible says was righteous and devout, and he spent his life looking for the consolation of Israel. Okay, so what's it mean that he spent his life looking for the consolation of Israel? It means that he was looking with expectancy for God's promises over Israel to be fulfilled. So he was a godly man. He knew there were promises for the Messiah, and so he was watching for the Messiah to come. He was praying for that day to pass, and the Lord promised him, you're going to see him before you die. And now he's in the temple. Jesus comes in, and he goes, that's the one. This is the one I've been waiting for. This is the one I've been watching for. And he gets to go, and he gets to bless Jesus. He gets to bless Mary. And it's an amazing thing. And while he does this, this woman named Anna, who is a prophetess, who is living in the temple, she is in her later years. The Bible tells us that when she married, after 7 years of marriage, her husband passed away, and she spends the rest of her life ministering to the Lord in the temple. So she comes and she witnesses this, and she sees that Jesus is the one who is going to bring redemption to Israel. And then she begins to testify to all who are looking for Jesus, hey, he's come. And both of their stories are so inspiring to me because they're people who are so connected to the heart of God. They were so connected to the heart of God that they made what was important to him important to them. You know, like when I pray, I'm just going to be honest, a lot of my prayers have to do with things that are important to me. People that are important to me, circumstances, you know, and it takes me discipline to stop and go, Lord, what's important to you? What are you saying? What is it that you're doing in this moment? What are you doing in this hour? What are you doing in our region, in our world? And to listen to his heart and then begin to pray those things. That takes discipline for me, you know, but that's what happens when you walk with the Lord, is that you connect with him in intimacy and suddenly the things that are important to him become important to you. You know, this is what any intimate relationship is supposed to be like. You know, if you have a marriage where it's only one person's desires that are important, there's going to be some issues that come in that relationship. But how easy it is to treat the Lord that way. But the good news is that because Jesus came, there is absolutely no separation between us and the Lord anymore. That we actually get to be seated with him in heavenly places, that we get to have intimacy with the Father, that it's been completely restored. And so he actually will talk to us about what he's doing. He'll talk to us about what's on his heart. And as we begin to connect with his heart, then we can pray and we can be a participant in what it is that he's doing. You know, Simeon prayed with expectancy, watching for what the Lord had promised to come about. When's the last time that you prayed with expectancy, watching for the answer? You know, like when you pray with expectancy because you really think it's going to happen, it completely changes the way that you pray. You pray with more passion, you begin to pay attention around you. It changes the way that you live too. You know, in our day, there's a lot to be discouraged about. Like, I understand that. There's a lot of darkness. You know, that's not a surprise. The Bible talks about how there will be deep darkness that covers the earth, right? But do you know what the flip side of that is? Is that when the deep darkness comes, that there's a light that is greater that's going to arise and shine, right? And when you spend time with the Lord, you don't concentrate on the darkness. When you spend time with the Lord, the darkness doesn't seem dark because he is so bright. And then suddenly you begin to pray with hope. And you look at problems not as problems, but you look at them as possibilities. And you look at this hour of history not as one that we just need to survive, but as an opportunity to actually rise up and be the goodness of God in this day and this hour. And that's an amazing thing. When we spend time with the Lord, we actually become expectant for good things to happen. And this thing happens when we're expectant, and it's that the joy and the hope bubbles over from us, and we can't help but share it to the people around us. You know, I am not a natural small talker. Is that a word? Some of you know this from experience. I genuinely love people, but if I don't know you and we're not able to go into a deep conversation right away, I need you to carry the conversation. Okay? I'm working at it. I'm growing. I just have many awkward moments. It's part of my charm, right? So because of that, evangelism, which is something that I've done from the time I was very young, is a daunting thing, you know, unless it's in a relationship, unless there's a context for it. But to go up to a stranger and start talking to them, much less talking to them about Jesus, like, that's just a recipe for disaster in my book, right? But something happens when I am connecting with the Lord and I'm just going about my daily life and I begin to see his heart for the people around me. And I begin to be overwhelmed at his compassion and his kindness that I can't actually help but to speak about it. You know, that I get to bless people as I go, that I get to release words of encouragement, that I get to pray with people. It's one of the greatest privileges of my life. You know, and we all have that opportunity, and it starts with us being connected to the heart of the Lord and allowing what's important to him to be important to us. So my hope for you all this Christmas season is that you would have a fresh connection with the Lord, that you would understand that Christmas isn't just something we celebrate because it was this thing that happened, but that Christmas is something we celebrate because it happened to us, because it's personal, because Jesus came for you personally, because he loves you. And there's hope in this day because of that Christmas so long ago. The last element that I want to talk about briefly is Jesus. I mean, you can't have the Christmas story without Jesus, right? Jesus is the Messiah. He's the one this whole celebration is about. But what's so amazing about Jesus is that he came in the form of a baby. Like, I mean, really think about that. If you were God coming to earth, is that the form you would choose? You know, it's probably not the form I would choose. And it wasn't what was expected. You know, people were expecting the Messiah to come, and they had in mind the way that he was going to come. He was going to come, and he was going to rescue them, and he was going to rescue them right now. You know, and there was going to be military victory, and it was going to be this forceful advancing of his rule and reign on the earth. And so when he came in a different form, many didn't recognize him. Many didn't accept that this is who had come in the form of a baby. But what's so amazing is the goodness of God in coming as a baby. Because he sent the Messiah in seed form, because if the Messiah had come in the glorious form of who he was in fullness, he would have just brought destruction and judgment to the world. Because the world couldn't have contained him in that time. Instead, in God's goodness, he sent him as a baby so that the world could actually be redeemed instead of destroyed. Because his heart has never been for judgment. His heart has been for redemption. And you know, the Lord works in the same way in your life today. That he gives you the kingdom. He gives you promises. He works in your life and he always starts in seed form. And this can be really discouraging because you don't want it to start in seed form. Or at least I don't want it to start in seed form. How many here are fans of the process? Right? Like, wouldn't we just choose to get to the end, to the good part? You know, but instead we have to go through this process. But you know what? It's the kindness of the Lord that he does this. Because you know that he is giving you promises that are bigger than what you can contain. That he is a calling for your life that's actually beyond your current character. that he has things he wants you to do, and it's going to require talents and gifts that you don't have right now. And so he gives it to you in seed form so that you can grow. Because if he gave it to you in fullness, it would crush you. Or he would have to give you a much diminished version of what he wants to give. But when he gives it to you in seed form, you get to grow with it so that it becomes something more than you can possibly imagine. Because the Lord is giving you gifts that are greater than you know. He is giving you opportunities. He has plans for your life that are beyond what you have hoped and dreamed, because he is so good. And his ways are so much above our ways that we can't comprehend it. In Matthew 13, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven, and he says this. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all other seeds, but when it's full grown, it's larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." And that's what the kingdom is still like today. You know, it's in seed form. It's in a small seed form. And it's given to us and it's entrusted to us because the Lord knows that we can be good ground for it to grow. And he knows that as it grows, as we grow, that we're going to be able to actually fulfill the call in our life, which is so much beyond where we're at right now. So this Christmas, I want you to be encouraged. God is working in your life. You may be sitting there and feeling like, I don't have a calling on my life. I don't have promises. Like, what are you talking about? You do. It's just you might not recognize them because they've been given to you in small seed form. But as you take care of it, as you steward it, as you trust the Lord and you continue on the journey, it's going to be amazing what's going to happen as it grows. You know, the promises of God are going to become bigger than what you can contain. And it's actually going to become something that you're going to be able to really birth into the world that's going to impact the world around you because you were faithful with this tiny seed that the Lord gave you. And that's the hope of Christmas, is that we have this baby that came to us. And he came to us in the form of a baby, and we know what his life on earth was like. But do you know that he's still here working with us? That he's in us? That he hasn't completely fulfilled everything he's going to do because he's continuing it on through us? That the kingdom hasn't stopped advancing in the earth? That it is continuing to advance and that we are a very important part of that story? Like, it's an amazing thing. So this Christmas, my hope is that you would find new wonder at the beauty of Jesus as a baby, but also the beauty of who he is in you now and the possibilities of what is going to be if you would continue to partner with him as you go through this journey of life. Does that sound good? All right. I am actually going to invite Jamie back up. Yay!
Would you guys stand to your feet? You know, as we're listening this morning, there are many opportunities to identify your own journey in that story. And right now, I'm just going to give you the opportunity to quiet yourself before the Lord. So would you close your eyes? And I even encourage you right now, just to, as a gesture of opening your own heart and being serious about the moment, just take your own hand, just put it on your heart right now. Father in heaven, I'm asking right now that you would cause, Lord, our hearts to be open and perceptive, Lord, to what you're saying and what you're doing in our journey right now. Lord, I thank you that truly that you're not done with us yet. In fact, the areas that we think are too late, or that maybe we made decisions that were costly and so we're unable to do the things that you put in our heart, Lord, I thank you that it's not that it's too late, it's that it actually hasn't been time yet. That it's not past time, it's not past due, but it's actually the opportunity is now coming now. So Lord, I thank you that even in these days that promises are finding their fulfillment. So Lord, we just speak to those, Lord, who felt like it was too late. Holy Spirit, would you touch hearts right now and remind them it is not too late. Would you say that to yourself right now? It's not too late. God, I thank you for each person in here who you recognize that your journey is actually a part of somebody else's journey. It's not just about you. And you have the opportunity to serve somebody else, or you have the opportunity to come alongside someone else. God, I'm asking right now that you would cause our minds to be focused on, even drift, Lord, right now, to recognize the people that you've put in our lives, that we have the opportunity to help them on their journey. Lord, just like Joseph, God, you've given us the ability to walk alongside others. So Holy Spirit, would you speak right now? Just speak to people's hearts right now. Cause us to remember the people that you've put around us. Now, would you just respond even right now to the Lord? Just thank God for that person. Thank God for those people. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that I get the opportunity to walk alongside those people, that I get to be a Joseph to them, to strengthen, to walk along them. And Father, right now we thank you for the supernatural happenings, Lord, and the ability, God, for you to bring a sign that we would recognize, the ability, Lord God, to speak over our circumstances and to cause something that's absolutely impossible, Lord, for us to conceive of it, that you would make a way, Lord, that you'd overshadow our hearts right now. So would you just respond right now just by inviting, Holy Spirit, would you hover over my life? Would you overshadow my life? Just invite him right now. God, would you overshadow my life? Lord, I thank you for the impossible, that it's possible because you're a part of it. Lord, that you would give us eyes to see the sign, Lord, to be able to fixate, to be able to focus, Lord, on the things that are out of the normal, Lord, that we would not just wonder at them, Lord, but we would grab hold of them in our hearts, that it would actually cause us to change our lives, Lord, to adjust our path. Lord, I thank you for that. God, thank you that you're touching hearts right now, that you are touching us, you're speaking to us. Lord, and for each person here, you know, I want to give you the opportunity this morning. If you've never prayed to receive Jesus, if you got invited along with family this morning to a church service, maybe you're just visiting. But if it's you, if you would say to me, Pastor Jamie, I've never received Jesus as my Lord and Savior before. I've never asked him to be my Lord. If that's you this morning, or if you've been far away from God, but you want to come back to him this morning, I want to give you the opportunity. And in fact, I'm going to give everyone that opportunity and ask that each person, every voice, that you would repeat after me as we pray this morning. I want you to join in this prayer. And if you mean it in your heart, then God's going to do something supernatural in your life. He wants to meet you in this place this morning. He wants to bring transformation. So would you repeat after me and pray alongside me right now? Father in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus, that he was a gift for me, that he died on the cross that I might be forgiven. And I receive this morning, Jesus, please forgive me, please wash me, be my Lord, be my Savior, be my friend. I invite you into my life. I receive the free gift of eternal life, that my life would be changed, that I would know you. And Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would come and you would seal each heart. That you would seal each heart this morning, that you would touch and you would do a work in them, Lord, that's supernatural. God, I thank you for this. I thank you for this. That this wouldn't just be a normal moment, but it'd be a moment that actually transforms each one of our lives. I thank you for this. Father, I bless your people today. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you.
May he be gracious to you. May his countenance, his face be towards you. Lift up his countenance upon you, that you would experience his favor. I bless you this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone that dared to agree with that prayer said, amen. Come on, can we give a good clap to the Lord today?